Good morning. Pardon my voice. First, I'll share with you a note, a question that I put to myself. Do you find someone? So the question is, it's a rhetorical question. You don't have to answer, but you might well think about it, and you'll see where are we? Here we are. This is the question. What is new in the new year? What is new? What's new in the new year? Say, so from tomorrow, we're going to be on the 1st of January 2024. What's going to be new? Well, see, we don't have to answer, but think about it. Probably, maybe a new calendar, a new day. Yes, but it's going to be same old us. Only one day old or something like that. But see, the idea is that with this new year, not many things are new. There could be some things new, but not many of them are new. Well, see, we might touch upon some of the possible answers to this question. Because I was thinking, okay, I have to confess, knowing that a few members of our church will be missing from the service. As Peter said, you are expecting a low attendance. And then, you know, the question comes, why would people go to church? Why would anyone attend a church service? Why you, for example, are coming Sunday by Sunday to a church service? What is new about a church service? It's another one. So I try to answer, and I believe there are new things apart from a new day that's made brand new for us. Every time we meet to worship God, the presence of the Holy Spirit, it's new. Because even though the format of the service, the structure might be the same, sometimes same songs we might learn them by heart. We might hear the same prayers, but there somewhere the Holy Spirit is at work, and at times new things sprout out because our God is the God of the new. One of the characteristics of our God, He's the God of the new. What He creates, when He intervenes, things are new. And when Jesus will come a second time, things will be renewed. Some of them will be made new. I make all things new, said our Lord. So even in the year that comes, even though many things will be the same, the presence of the Holy Spirit might give birth to things new. We have to be open for that visitation of the Holy Spirit. Now, let us go back to what actually I would like to share with you this morning. I'll read the verse, I'll pray, then we'll go on. The verse, it's only one, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, even though I'm going to make use of other verses as well. John chapter 14, for example. But Matthew 6:25 verse is this: therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? So this is a question, this is an affirmation and a question that our Lord posed to his audience at the time. And those words are relevant for us today. Pray with me. As I say, Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Even though the last day of the year, you have created something new in us. It was at the time a new response to what you were working in our midst. And we pray that there will be a continuation of a new response from us. Maybe a new feeling, maybe a new emotion. But your visitation always brings something new. So we pray that all these things new will give you honor and will be for our better spiritual life, not only the physical life. We give thanks for everyone's presence here. And we give thanks especially for our sisters Winnie's in our midst, Who would have expected it? And this is how you work. You work in wonderful ways. So we pray a blessing on her family, and on the church that she is part of. And we pray for our loved ones, wherever they are, that you might keep them safe. We pray for those that are home, sick, be with them. We pray for us that your word may be new for us, fresh. And we also are thankful for the offerings that we've been able to bring before you. And we give thanks that you are resourcing us in such a wonderful way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. And probably you've noticed that in the newsletter, what was it, $720 have been raised last Christmas Day for the Baptist World Aid, which money will go to projects in different parts of the world. And you have been witnessing how sometimes these donations, these helps work in such a wonderful way. And indeed, the Bible, it's true that the good that God helps us to do brings glory to his name somewhere, sometimes. And that's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing. For today, I would like to explore the question or the idea, the words of our Lord Jesus, do not worry. Do not worry. Even though usually at the end of the year, we usually come with thanks for God taking us through. But I would like to expand a little bit this idea of do not worry, you know, and we'll see what that implies. Firstly, we made it. We who are here, we made it to the last day of the year, 31st of December. Oh, no, we made it. And this past week was a bit challenging. We all have sympathized with Sab and loss of his mother. You have heard only this morning about Doreen, but we've been aware through Wayne about her condition. On Thursday morning, I visited her and she wasn't with me. She was elsewhere, but still breathing hard. And I was able to just read Psalm 23. And something interesting happened. I don't know exactly how to take it. She was laying on a bed with her hands. One hand was like that and one like that. So as I don't know if she heard me. I think she did. Because at one point, as I started reading Psalm 23, she brought the other hand like that. I don't know what to make of it. But I think something happened. So she passed away on Thursday. And then we heard that a sister from the Romanian Baptist Church, we were part of it previously, also passed away just yesterday. So it's been a week where some people didn't make it. Maybe they were thinking of reaching the end of the year. Maybe they were thinking of passing over to the new year. They didn't make it. But we made it. We are here. Their life journey ended before reaching the end of the year. Tomorrow, God's willing, we will wake up to a new day. Even though I asked before, what's new? To a new day, a new week, a new month, a new year, and new bills, and other things that will cram up our lives. Everything will be new again, except our old selves. There's going to be anything new about us unless the Holy Spirit comes and does some work in our lives. Things will become new. But I'm sure that if we meet tomorrow morning, you'll look the same. Maybe a little bit more tired or sleepy, but you'll look the same. And then other stuff will be the same, even though the year is new. But that's room for God to work on our lives. Now, generally, the end of the year is being celebrated with joy and thankfulness, right? We all, probably some of you will be watching the fireworks and all that stuff that goes on, and there's going to be joy, lots of joy. Now, more often than not, there'll be more joy than thankfulness. People will be more joyful than thankful. And sometimes in their exacerbated joy, they'll forget exactly why are they joyful for. It just goes on with the age, I guess. So most people will be joyful, but not necessarily thankful. Now, more often than not also, there'll be lots of people who will not be sure what they are thankful for, or they will not know whom to thank for the things that, you know, for the fact that they end up the all year. But we, God's people, for us, our things are offered to God. Our things are offered to God. Our joy might not be so wild, right? But our thankfulness definitely is addressed to God, because He is the one who saw us through. He is the one who allowed us to reach the end of the year. God the Father, the great provider, the great sustainer. We live, we are sustained by Him in every step that we make. Under the Old Testament covenant, God was teaching people to be thankful, and hence they had a New Year celebration when things will, in a sense, be renewed, and that was under the New Covenant. We have every day to be thankful to God and celebrate His presence. So when I say the word, or when I say the phrase, don't worry, what do you think will come next from the worldly point of view? Let's see. Don't worry, be happy. I guessed that right. This is what I wrote. I can show you that this is what I wrote here. Don't worry, be happy. If you have any granddaughters or grandsons, I'm not going to go into that. There are many of those cartoons and movies where things come, don't worry, be happy. Hakuna Matata, I said it anyway. Don't worry, be happy. And while the world's mantra, because this is a mantra, unfortunately, and this is our greetings, isn't it? Happy New Year, Happy New Year. Unfortunately, the world's mantra sounds good, but unfortunately, the world doesn't offer anything that would make one indeed happy. So the world cannot offer anything that will make one indeed happy. The world can offer lots of things that make people smile, hysterically laugh, and whatever they do, but not necessarily be indeed happy. Even the word that happy, I'm not going to go on that. On the contrary, when we look a little bit and we look at the news, when you read certain newspapers and so on, the world's future looks rather bleak. The world's future looks rather gloomy. Financially, the bubble has to burst. Economically, we say the economy goes good, but we don't produce anything. We only consume. Socially, the relationship are breaking down. Morality, it's nowhere to be found, or you have to be very careful to find, searchful to find it somewhere. And even environmentally, the world doesn't have to offer anything. I've seen not long ago a picture of the Time magazine. They've got very popular Time magazine. 30 years ago, they were predicting ice age. 30 years ago, they were predicting ice age. 10 or 20 years and the world will be covered by ice. You pick up now a number of Time magazine, what will you find? Heat wave, climate change, we are doomed. See? And it's there. You can look at it. Environmentally, things don't look good. Now, while we listen to those things, we are aware of them, I would like to invite us to respond differently to the fact, don't worry. So after hearing today's sermon, when someone says, don't worry, we'll say, trust Jesus. Don't worry, trust Him. Don't worry, trust Jesus, because He will see us through. It's nothing. When we think of Jesus, when we accept Jesus, when we take Him as a Savior, as a friend, as a Lord, there'll be no things to worry about. Don't worry, trust Jesus. So I have to provide some arguments for that. And I'll read Matthew chapter 11, verse 29-30. Jesus said at one point, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So I will say, don't worry. It's not me saying, it's Jesus. Don't worry. I am bearing your burden with you. And I think that would be a good message for us as we enter into 2024. Don't worry. Jesus is bearing our burden with us. When we take His yoke, which is easy, when we take His burden, which is light, we find ourselves in a place where we actually can cast our burdens on Jesus. And this is what 1 Peter chapter 5 was taught us. And this is what Peter was telling to the church that went at the time, if you remember, through hard times. Cast your burdens on Jesus and he will take care of you. So when we come to him, when we take that yoke, that his yoke on us, when we take the burden, the light burden of Jesus, we will find in a position, then our burdens become, or he takes our burdens. And what's interesting about this word yoke, while we are not very used to this word yoke, usually is made for two animals. Normally, if you have lived in the country or you've seen the right movies, you've seen that people who were working their land with animals, they'll usually yoke two animals, and it's yoke, it's for two usually, not for one. So here we have an image of a yoke, and when Jesus says, take my yoke, I'm going to look, well, who's on next me? Who's on the place next me? And surprisingly, we find him. Because he's carrying our burdens with us. We are not carrying them alone. In 2024, whatever, say, life will bring, whatever God will allow to happen in your life, you won't be alone carrying it, that burden, because he will carry it with you. Don't worry. Jesus is saying, I am bearing your burden with you. More than that, as we look at a verse a little bit prior to that, Jesus said, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So as we go on through life with Jesus carrying our burden with him, we find actually rest. And it's almost contradictory, isn't it? You can't logically put yoke and rest together, because yoke is nothing to be restful for or restful about. When you say yoke, it's a burden, it's hard work, it's labor, but Jesus brings that rest to us. Don't worry, I'm giving you rest. These are his words. And again, looking to 2024, let us be assured, and let us actually not worry, because he is the one who gives us rest. Something to note here in this verse is this. Jesus says, I will give you rest. And then next one is, you will find rest. It's a rest that Jesus gives. And usually people thinking about these words will say that this is the rest that comes through salvation. That salvation is given to us. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to do, in a sense, anything to be saved, just to put our trust, our belief in Jesus. But the fact that we will find rest, that means that we come under God's authority. We live a godly life. And as such, in a practical way, we'll also find rest by obeying. We find rest by being the right disciples. Some rest is given to us, we are saved. But now obeying, we find rest. And this is a strange idea, again, because many people think about rest doing nothing. That's not exactly right. A spiritual rest may come by being helpful to the other, by being helpful to the needy, by being helpful to the neighbor. And that's why we have so many, you know, love your neighbor, love your neighbor, love your neighbor. Jesus gives us the rest, and we find rest by obeying him, by coming under his yoke, under his authority. A rest that is given and a rest that is found, actually, in him. So don't worry, Jesus is saying, I am giving you rest. When we turn our attention to John chapter 14, just prior to his departure, prior to his suffering, Jesus had this talk with his disciples. And again, we ought to hear his voice. Don't worry, I give you peace. Actually, don't worry, I give you my peace, said Jesus. So let me read it. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So Can we visualize Jesus saying these words to us as we are facing tomorrow, as we are facing the unknown 2024? Can we visualize? It depends on our imagination, really, and how attentive can be. Jesus is saying to us that he is leaving, he is giving to us his peace, and not as the world gives it. And again, when we think about our world today, you have to really hard to find some peace somewhere. That's not the case. But he is giving us his peace, not like the world. And that's why our hearts are not to be troubled, and we don't have to be afraid. Because Jesus is clear in what he is doing. And if you remember, Jesus was giving them their peace and assuring them about some things. That maybe they will not see him for a while, but they will see him again in a short while. So that sometimes we don't see what God has planned for us. We don't see what God has in his mind for us. I was reminded reading this little note that Charles Spurgeon apparently was encouraging his church, 100 years back, and he reminded his flock saying, "When you can't see his hand, trust his heart." When we can't see the way ahead, we can trust God's heart. When we don't understand what's going, we can trust God's heart. Even when it hurts, even when we feel pain, we can trust God's heart, because his heart is bent on doing us good. His heart is bent on doing us good. I might not understand. I might not like it. I might not agree. But one thing I have to be sure about as a Christian, as a child of God, that God is bent on doing me good. And especially the eternal good. "Don't worry," says Jesus. "I'll give you my peace." Even more, because we always say these words in the hope that things will not be that bad. Isn't that right? Even in the midst of tragedy, sometimes we look and we think that things might not be that bad. But think about a man, and he wrote these words in Habakkuk chapter 3, I think. Yes, Habakkuk chapter 3. And I think you'll remember these words. "Though the fig tree does not bud," yes, "though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in a pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll be joyful in God my Savior." Why? Because him, God, has my good on his heart. And God has your good on his heart. That's something that has to be with us always. Two more things. Because Jesus doesn't end things just for this earth, as Paul attentions us. You know, if we have put our trust in God only for this earth, we are not better than other people. But we have put our trust in God for other things as well, for the things above this earth, for the next life. So Jesus is saying this morning, "Don't worry." He's saying, "I will be back. I'll be coming back." And the same passage, chapter 14, John chapter 14. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back. I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also might be where I am." John chapter 1-3. That we have here a promise of his coming back, of his return. The disciples at the time, they thought that they will not see Jesus again, but they saw him again. But this promise is a bit more than just "see you later" or "see you some other time." This promise is that "I'll see you in another place. I'll see you when I return to take you where I am." And that's the hope of the church. That's the hope of every believer, that Jesus will return. And remember that in Revelation, this is the cry of the church. Come, Lord Jesus. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. So don't worry, looking forward to 2024, because Jesus is saying, I will come back. And when he will come back, things will be much better, unimaginably better. And the last one, a last call from Jesus, or a last assurance from him for us not to worry. It's Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 till 20. You know this verse as well, this passage as well. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And they have to go out and make disciples and baptize them. And then the last verse, verse 20, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Don't worry. Jesus is saying, I'm with you. To form my coming, whatever form, but a call and encouragement, it's there again. Not to worry, because he is with us. That's his promise. He's not with us personally, individually, in a way that might touch him, even though sometimes we do meet Jesus in a different form, one of his brothers, one of his sisters in need. But he is not there with us physically, but yet he is with us spiritually, because that's his promise. So as we expect him to come, as we are assured of his presence, we think about an earth that it's beyond our imagination. And I'm sure that in your home and TV, you might have watched different scenes from different places on earth that are just beautiful, just beautiful. And then when we turn and we focus a little bit on different ways, almost like that beauty, it's not there anymore. But when Jesus comes, that's going to be the case for all the earth, and that's our hope. So don't worry. Let 2024 come. Be glad that we have reached this stage. But don't worry, because we have so many things, so many assurances, so much help from God for us not to worry. As I said, in 2024, the presence of the Holy Spirit will make things flourish, will make things new, will make things never heard of if we put trust in him. So let me conclude, with, again, I'll test you with this. Don't worry. Okay, we are nearly there. Let's try again. Don't worry. That sounds better. So I hope that as a church, I hope that as families, I hope that as single persons, as moms and dads and brothers and sisters and whoever is close to us, as we enter into 2024, we don't enter with worries in our heart, because he who is with us, he who is for us, is far beyond our abilities and our imagination. And that's also part of the Christmas message. Remember, Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Praise be his name, and we thank you, Jesus. So let's stand up and, well, just extend that Lord's blessing, and then at the end we'll also test what we have learned this Sunday. The Lord bless you and keep you.